I'm a specialist in medical litigation and clinical negligence cases, and we have offices in Dublin and in Sligo and in Ballinagh, and we see clients nationwide in relation to their concerns.
Now, what are the kind of concerns that people have here? And I suppose the first question that I have is, what are their rights in the area when something like this goes wrong, and when they may be at the case of a centre of a callback or a missed or delayed diagnosis?
Well, the first thing to emphasise, Gerry, is that this, unfortunately, is part of a pattern here that we've seen other instances where mistakes have been made and systems errors have been made in Waterford, in Drogheda, and there was an incident in Tala. So, unfortunately, other people have been through the mill, and we've managed to help people through the process where they're waiting on a callback or they've got a callback and they've got bad news. We know that there have been 7 serious cases here, and we know that a carrier are halfway through the review process. So, please God, there won't be any more, but if the number is panning out the way they've been panning out, we could expect to see at least another 7 serious cases where people's diagnoses have been delayed or serious mistakes have been made or misinterpretations of their scans. So in answer to your question, Gerry, their rights are, if you're one of the people affected and you're waiting for instance, a callback, it might not happen for 8 weeks' time. Do you go and decide to have it done privately yourself for the sake of peace of mind? If you're one of the people who, there was, I think, 21 people identified to date who were kind of close calls, but were on the margins in terms of they're being affected, are you going to be on your guard in relation to trying to have, you know, increased vigilance, more tests, more investigations, because this has been done? And again, who's going to cover that? And then if you're one of the unfortunate people or the family member of somebody who is one who falls into the bracket of a serious case, what are the implications? They could be lifelong, they could be life-limiting, they could be, in fact, fatal.
And that is a central point. Is it that each individual case will have its own characteristics depending on what the prognosis is, what the illness is, and what the delay has meant in terms of timely treatment?
Absolutely, Gerry. There's a spectrum in terms of serious cases, and I assume the HSE means serious when they say serious, between somebody, for instance, having a diagnosis delayed for several months or several weeks. And we all know that, unfortunately, with cancer cases, the earlier the diagnosis is made, the better the outcome. Ranging from a delay which maybe won't have that much of an impact in terms of somebody's treatment. But in all serious cases, there will be some impact in terms of the life or health of an individual, and that will have knock-on consequences for them, for their lives, for their livelihoods, and for their family members.
There's a difference here as well, I take it, Roger, and in some of the cases, if it does happen that somebody unfortunately passes away, and either could have been saved or could have had their life extended by timely action that was negated by the mistakes made, their family then would have lever. Would their family be taking the case on their behalf or on the family's behalf?
No, well, that's exactly right, Gerry, that if you have a situation where, God forbid, somebody passes away because a mistake is made at some point along the line, and it can be established that, but for that mistake, the person, as you say, would have received treatment which would have prolonged their life or could have saved them. In those circumstances, they could leave behind them dependent children, they could leave behind them dependent spouses. There can be massive implications financially for families. So in those instances, yeah, the baton can be taken up by family members in relation to their deceased loved one. People need to keep an eye in relation to the time factor. People aren't aware that sometimes there's a time limit on investigating these things legally, and it's generally 2 years.
Okay, so they need to keep records of everything, and if they are going on that road for peace of mind in the meantime, instead of waiting 8 weeks to go and get it done privately, they need to keep records of all of that, I'd imagine.
Exactly right, and you know that's a choice for each individual person. They might go to their GPs, and I want to congratulate the GPs of Kerry for their vigilance in bringing this to light, because I think it was an instance where, you know, people were contacting their GP saying, what's the result of this? And it was through people's symptoms not matching the results that this incident came to light. So you're absolutely right. If somebody does decide on foot of advice from their legal or medical advisors to go and get further tests done, any additional expenditure that they incur, they should keep a careful note of that.
Roger, the big question when it comes to all of these cases and medical negligence cases or misadventures or however it's termed is, how long does all of this take? it seems to take an inordinately long amount of time in Ireland. They are complex cases, granted, but it takes a very long time to work its way through the system.
Well, I tell you what has a massive chilling effect, Gerry, is the fear of taking on the HSE, taking on the state. People don't even know where to start. So very often people come to me and come to us because they want answers fundamentally. They don't know what's happened to them. They don't know why. And it can take time to get those answers, to piece together the information, to get the records from the various people, and then to get independent advice from independent experts based on those records. So that can take time. And then you're dealing with the state, and unless you do this type of thing regularly as a solicitor or as a firm, they can throw barriers in your path. And it can be very daunting for somebody taking on the state. It can be very daunting for somebody who doesn't do this as regularly as we do to take on the state. So if you're used to dealing with these barriers, if you know what to expect, you can jump over them that little bit quicker. But it's undoubtedly the case that these are very complex cases. They require very thorough investigation. And certainly, in some instances, the state, as is their entitlement, put up barriers and tried to defend them.
Yeah, with a case like this, and in fairness to the HSE and in fairness to the hospital in question, they're still in the investigation stage themselves.
Yes.
There is an investigation, and there are various different factors. This has become political to an extent because of the political reaction to it and the criticism of the health service, but they'll have to be figuring out and finding out for themselves what went wrong. Was it down to an individual? Was it down to a number of people? Were there failures of management? Was it a failure of the system in place in the radiology department that contributed to it? So they'll have to find out first about all of that, and then people can be directing, well, this shouldn't have happened, that shouldn't have happened. That will take time as well.
I'm sure it will, Gerry. And, you know, these instances are always multifactorial, and there can be a number of different contributing things causing them. For instance, it's been reported in the press today that in the radiology department in Kerry, that the radiologist had to report on twice the number of scans that should be expected of a radiologist. I think it was up to 150 images per day, which is more than twice the recommended rate for somebody in that position.
Yeah.
You know, truck drivers are supposed to take rests. There's a tachograph. You wouldn't have somebody work a double shift in a factory. You know, why is it that the HSE expect people on the front line, doctors and nurses, who perhaps are overburdened, to work twice what they should be? So that's a question. Is it a systems error? Is it down to individual human error? Who knows? But we have seen these instances in other hospitals, as I said, and in other regions. And unfortunately, it tends to come down to the same basic thing, Gerry, and that is that the HSE don't put the resources in where they're needed.
Yeah.
People are under-resourced, departments are understaffed, there is inadequate equipment, there's inadequate supervision. So all of these things, unfortunately, fall back, as you say, at a political level, to the extent to which, you know, as a society, are we happy that our government and our elected representatives are spending the money where it should be spent?
Yeah, a central question. Roger, when it comes to these type of cases, and we see medical negligence cases, and we see very often, every couple of months or so, there will be an enormous payout for a family, either a grieving family for a child that's died or a baby that's died in childbirth, or someone who has had lifelong conditions placed upon them by the inaction or mistakes made in that area. Very often, we see families come outside the courthouses and say, we were fought every step of the way by this, and today, finally, the HSE dropped their defence, gave a full apology, admitted liability, and we wish they would have done this much sooner. Now, those are specific cases. In this instance here, and we don't know what the HSE is going to do in terms of their own investigations, or whether there will be a general apology issued for mistakes made, and would that colour the time that the case may take? Can you speak to the possibilities of that? That it might be different, or is it just the default position of the state through the HSE to fight these things all of the way through the courts and string them out for as long as possible, when very often, in the end of the day, they admit liability?
Well, that's a very good point, Dan. You're right. There is a distinction where there's a situation where the HSE themselves have noticed a problem and front up to it, and an investigation is done. In those instances, I've seen very clear letters being written to the people affected saying, look, we're really sorry, we've dropped the ball on this one, we know you've been affected, will have you involved in the review process. And there are generally full and frank explanations given to people. That does take time, but inevitably you find that anybody who does go legal in relation to that type of situation, they're pushing an open door effectively because the HSE have already investigated it.
They've already put their hands up to an extent.
Exactly, correct. Yeah. But you are right, Gerian, that the wider point is that unfortunately people come to my firm, go to solicitors around the country because the situation is that the HSE, as is their entitlement through the State Claims Agency, have an entitlement to defend these cases on behalf of the taxpayer. But again, I'd ask, is it an appropriate use of taxpayers' money to defend cases where it would have been better and less traumatic on everybody involved? The parents, as you say, in the case of a damaged or an injured child, the doctors and medics who are affected. Is it in anybody's interest to drag it out unnecessarily? I don't believe so. And I think that if anybody suggests that it's the lawyers who drag these things out, that's absolutely not the case. Our brief is simply to do the best job we can for our clients as quickly as we can. So you're absolutely right. In some instances, there's a reluctance or an inability by the hospitals or by the HSE to front up to the system's errors or mistakes that have been made. But I think in the context of the tragic news that we've got from Kerry Hospital, hopefully it'll be different here.
Okay, Roger, thanks for taking time to talk to us this morning.
Not at all, Jerry.